Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Adam McManus from theworldview.com, co-hosting with us on this edition of the program. And we want to get to the question of masculinity and raising our sons to be men. That's the subject on this edition of the program. But first, this is interesting. 75% of America's 17 to 24-year-olds are ineligible for military service.
Wow, that's huge.
75%, yeah, they can't do it.
Why is it so big?
It's due to lack of education, obesity, other physical problems, or criminal history. So it's really extraordinary. This is from Mission Readiness, a group of retired military, civilian military leaders. They found one in four young people between 17 and 24 do not have a high school diploma. About 30% of those who do still fail the Armed Forces Qualification Test. Another one in 10 can't serve because of past convictions. There's a ton of obesity. Pun intended.
We have gone soft, is what you're saying.
27% of young Americans are too overweight to join the military. By the way, that compares to 5% for the Chinese.
I wonder what it was compared to years ago in America. I'm sure it was about the same here as well.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's only been since 1990 that this obesity problem has kicked in. Nearly 32% of American 17 to 24-year-olds have disqualifying health problems like asthma, mental health issues, or recent treatment of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. And do remember, we have a 60-fold increase in ADD, the dispensing of psychotropic drugs, and don't forget all the opioids that are being distributed over the counter or under the counter. And that is an increase of about 40 to 50 fold since the early 1990s as well. So Americans are, you know, they're having mental issues. They have obesity issues. And the problems are between 5 and 20 fold or 50 fold what they were in the early 1990s. So, again, you can read about this in The Rise and Fall of the West. I have an entire chapter on the death of the West. And so, you know, if you want to know where we are in history, get a copy of Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West. This is my best shot, a 700-page explanation on the spectacular rise of Christian civilization over a period of 1,000 years, and then the decline that occurred because of the humanists, because of the post-Christian apostates and the atheists of just the last 200 years. So get the full story in Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, and The Rise of the East. We're talking about The Rise of the East. What's going to happen in the future? Get the book Epoch, The Rise and Fall of the West, to know where we are. Friends, the men of Issachar, they understood the time so they would know what to do. And we need to understand the time so that we will know what to do. Now, here's what's interesting also, Adam, before we take the break. The Chinese army is now 2.2 million strong. The American army is 1.5 million strong. But the Chinese, of their 17 to 24-year-olds, they have 60 million men capable of serving. 60 million men capable of serving. Only about 3 million are obese. But according to this article, former commander of the Marine Corps Recruiting Command, Major General Mark Brelikos, stated that there are 30-some million 17 to 24-year-olds out there. That's 15 million women, 15 million men. But he says by the time you get down to those that are qualified, you're down to less than 1 million young Americans, or 500,000 men. So the American military, best case, can do about 2 million. That's best case. And China could pull off about 63 wow. million men.
Do they allow women to serve in China?
Now, I don't know how many women right now, but, you know, America is going to be right around 2 million plus or minus, whereas China is capable of 63 million men. Again, my friends, there are about 15 million 17 to 24-year-olds in America. So America's not a teeny-weeny nation. America is still about 10-15% of Chinese population. But China has about 60 million men capable of serving from 17 to 24 years of age. And that compares to America has got 500,000. 500,000 are able. You know, if you got a war, okay, let's say China declares war on the United States, and you only got 500,000 to pick from. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. That's a major problem. America has about a 1.5 million standing army, but you can only add 500,000 to that of men to take you to 2 million against China's 63 million. We're done for. The end of men, the demise of guys, is the end of a nation. Be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, also Adam McManus, today talking about the emasculation of the modern man, especially in the United States. The snowflakeism, the emasculation, the feminization of modern man is obvious. It's going to affect civilization. It's going to affect the balance of powers between West and East. And yeah, the East has its issues. And people write into me and say, yeah, but you know, China has its abortion issues and such. Yeah, but do remember that America has a Christian heritage unlike really any other nation in the history of the world. America has a strong Christian heritage, and we have abandoned it. That's something that you can't say of China. And the East is on the rise. There's no question. The East is on the rise. The West is on decline, economically speaking, militarily, and just about every other way. But now, what's the cause of all of this? Here's an article from the Christian Post called "The Feminization of Modern Man." Solomon Green is the author of this article, and he assigns causes to the breakdown of masculinity.
Well, I love how he sets it up. He says that one of his female acquaintances approached him after she had gone on several dates, none of which looked like a possible husband, and she seemed hopeless. She seemed sad. She said, "You know, Solomon, I always wanted someone similar to my dad. I don't know if it's just me, but I think men today just are not what they used to be." He agrees 100%. He said they're not what they used to be at all. The very first reason he gives is the cultural attack on masculinity and the foundation of the increasing explosion of fatherless homes. In addition, there are other fathers who are physically present in the home, but emotionally absent.
Yeah, we're going to define masculinity in a moment because I think he gets close to it. But yeah, he assigns the problem to systemic cultural issues. Men are called to weakness, defeatism, faithlessness, to give up responsibility as heads and spiritual leaders. Men are discouraged from being men. The fact is, the young man's physical energy is often stifled. The system tends to equate all attempts to lead or take responsibility as abusiveness and male chauvinism. And boys are increasingly raised without fathers. So this fatherlessness issue. Some 57% of young boys are born outside of wedlock to the millennial generation. He doesn't quote that stat, but about 57%. The majority of little boys born to millennials are born outside of wedlock. And so, you know, right away you've got a massive problem. Little boys can even be made to apologize for the behaviors of their gender A vast majority, 76% of public school teachers are female. 89% of elementary school teachers are female. It's hard for little boys. Little boys were supposed to have fathers, and they're supposed to have male mentors that could train them out as to how to be men, but that's largely missing in their lives. Then the second thing that he brings out is pornography. So the first thing is just systemically, the world is training little boys not to be men. And then secondly, you've got pornography. And of course, every vice comes to the surface there with slothfulness and lust and self-centeredness. And in Proverbs 31, I think really speaks to this issue of pornography. Men are giving their strength up to women, to prostitutes. And effectively, pornography is just prostitution, a very cheap form. But prostitution. And Proverbs 31, you've got the Proverbs 31 mother instructing her son, hey, son, here's a few things you need to know. What, my son? What, son of my womb? What, son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. So that's what happens with pornography. He also, in this article, refers to Jordan Peterson's analysis of Peter Pan. He says, Wendy is a young English girl who wants to mature and have children and have a family of her own. She desires that responsibility and accepts mortality. Tinkerbell is a fairy. She doesn't exist. Yet Peter doesn't desire a romantic relationship with Wendy, a real woman, but rather entertains a relationship with Tinkerbell, the fairy of porn. Peter wants Wendy to be the mother of the lost boys. So Wendy can be the mother of the lost boys. But he doesn't want to marry Wendy. He rather refuses to grow up. And so he has this relationship with Tinkerbell. Too many men have fallen down this hole of becoming Peter Pans. Too many men are fallen for the Tinkerbells of society and ignored the Wendys around them. Many men would rather focus on living the life of a teenage boy, focusing on their own needs, desires, instead of finally maturing. So they take up the easy road to pleasure and fantasy. And ignore or delay their way to the road to reality and responsibility. So that's a pretty accurate assessment of men who are escaping responsibility, running away from responsibility, and effectively violating God's laws, the will of God in their life.
There's an interesting connection between video games and porn. It just occurred to me as you were talking. I had never really connected these two dots before until this very moment, but they're both worlds of fantasy. They're both online. Typically, a young man or a man can become absolutely addicted to both, obsessed by both. Presumably, video gaming is not sinful behavior in and of itself, although if it's pulling you away from your wife and your children, I suppose it is. But as he describes the Tinkerbell of today, pornography, porn is free, easily accessible, unlimited, extraordinarily powerful. This op-ed contributor to the Christian Post, Solomon Green, describes his own addiction formally to pornography. So he knows exactly from where he speaks. He said, look, in real life, in real relationships with women, men have to work on themselves in many areas. They've got to properly groom. They need to learn how to talk to women, how to act on a date, how to muster up the courage to ask woman out, how to dress well. But you don't need any of that when you're dealing with pornography. You don't need to shave, shampoo, or shower. You just sit in your favorite spot with your device, and away you go. No responsibility and no connection to society.
These are the issues that are destroying masculinity. These are the things that are breaking down masculinity. Pornography, and as you said, the video games and social media. It says the average gamer spends 8.5 hours a day playing video games. And what we've said many, many times is that this is what happens. Men will play the games while Rome burns down to the ground, while civilization falls apart. And I don't think we are exaggerating. I don't think this is hyperbole. I think this is what is happening. The average gamer spends about 8.5 hours a week playing video games, and 23% of men are playing more than 12 hours a week, and that would be, what, about 2 hours a day. Now, in terms of just being online, the average person is spending 147 minutes on social media daily. So that's every day, another 2 to 3 hours every day. In terms of just the amount of time that men spend online on their electronic devices, it is upwards of 7 to 10 hours a week. In this country, there's a wide chasm between the average amount of time spent reading, 15 minutes a day, versus the amount of time watching television. That's 166 minutes a day. So there you have another approximately 3 hours, almost 3 hours of television time. So you add your 3 hours of television time to 2 or 3 hours in the game world, to 2 or 3 hours on the internet, to another 2 to 3 hours in social media, and boom, you're at 6 to 7 to 8 hours a day. Now, men today are weaker physically, emotionally, mentally than most men of previous generations. No one person or problem is to be blamed, he said. But see, now, what is the definition of masculinity? And I want to deal with this because I think this is really getting down to the core of it. The definition of masculinity is strength. And that's what we find in Scripture. In Scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 says, quit ye like men, be strong. So there it is. Be like a man. Be strong. That is probably the clearest passage in Scripture, in the inspired Word of God, to define what masculinity is. Masculinity is strength. Men are supposed to be strong, and they're not strong when they give their strength to women or pornography. So that's a point made strongly in Proverbs 31. And it's not appropriate to say that men are acting like women. I think that's an insult to women. I'd rather not say something like that. It's true that the women are considered in Scripture the weaker vessel. That's 1 Peter 3. But she's worthy of the same honor. She's designed as a weaker vessel. But the fact is, it's strength that young men are lacking. Proverbs 24 and verse 10, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And that's the problem with men. Today, they faint when things get difficult. The need of the day, friends, is strength, resilience, endurance, perseverance, especially in the face of demonic oppression, discouragement, persecutions. That's what we need in the church. That's what we need in the family. We need a strong, tough, robust faith. Not a strength in ourselves, but a spiritual strength of faith in Christ, who is our strength. So men need to be characterized by strong faith in the spiritual sense, strong emotions in the emotional sense, and some resilience and strength in terms of their physical strength as well.
I would add to the proverb you quoted in terms of the addiction to pornography and the weakness of men, Proverbs 7:21, with persuasive words she led him astray. She seduced him with her smooth talk. All at once he followed her like an ox going to the slaughter, like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces his liver, like a bird darting into a snare, little knowing it will cost him his life. I've interviewed over 25 years of being a Christian radio talk show host, dozens of men who've become addicted to and a slave to pornography. And it rarely ends at just viewing increasingly bizarre and violent and vulgar material. It includes an acting out component where they are cheating on their wife or they are seeking out prostitutes. It gets very bad very quickly.
Well, and there you see a breakdown sexually. But I think there's also a weakness that occurs in every aspect of life when a man gives way to that kind of sexual sin. Certainly, you're not going to have a man who's willing to stand and defend the family. You don't have a man who's willing to engage the battle of faith in such a circumstance. We are facing difficult times, and if there was ever a time that we needed strong men, it would be now. I think our future families, our churches, are crying out for men. We don't have enough elders in the churches. We don't have enough fathers. We don't have enough young men to become the future husbands of our young ladies. So if there was ever a time that we need men, that is strong men, men of strong faith, it would be now. Now, what is strength in terms of faith? It means consistent faith, consistent prayer, consistent watchfulness, consistent church attendance. Consistency in the Word of God. When we think of strength, we think of a consistency. Strength means not to run away, not to give way in fear, not to avoid speaking to somebody because we have the spirit of fear. Strength means to engage. Strength means to speak the Word with boldness, even when everything around us is saying, don't say it, whatever you do, don't say it. No, you stand up and you say it, despite all opposition. Strength is to pray anyway, despite all of the voices of hell telling you not to. Strength means that we have the equipment necessary to struggle on, and we'll use it. Strength to fight on. Strength to engage all of the spiritual weapons listed in Ephesians chapter 6. Strength is what it takes to cast away the sin that easily besets us, to smash our cell phone with a sledgehammer if that's what's offending us, to cut off the right hand or pluck out the right eye. So this is the kind of thing that we need. Now, the Bible also assigns responsibilities and roles to young men. They are to be the dominion takers. They're to love to the point of sacrifice and give up their lives for their wives. And they should be ready to do that, to provide for the material needs of the family. That's a requirement. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 8. Also, spiritual leaders, 1 Timothy 2, 8. Spiritual leaders are called to lead in prayer. We have a prayer meeting tonight in the church, and I'm hoping that we'll see all the young men there. I don't think that's going to happen, but it would be wonderful if suddenly all the young men in the church decided that they need to come and they need to intercede for the needs of the saints, because we're right now in the midst of many spiritual attacks in our church. So it would be great if the young men would show up and pray with the lifting up of holy hands without wrath and without doubting. That's 1 Timothy 2:8. That's what we need. We need our young men to be gentle, consistent shepherds, teaching the word to their families in season, out of season, and responsible heads of their homes, that is, taking responsibility for their families. Even when things go poorly, they're willing to take responsibility and acknowledge the fault to be their own instead of blaming others for how things go. So society is failing, and I think what we need is a radical vision for men and women. We need to come back to God's word, and we need to receive God's word. Now, some young men may just collapse when they hear this admonition. Hey, be strong. Quit ye like men. Be strong. They may just collapse. It's just too much for them. They just already feel defeated. But that's because they need to look to Jesus. They need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to look at the cross, because that's where our strength comes from. It comes from Christ. It comes by faith in the living Christ, who died on the cross and rose again from the dead and won the battle for us, that we would win ours too. So that's the message for young men, Adam.
I think it all comes down to one's identity. If your identity is grounded in the pop culture, which is ever-changing and has no moral absolute, then you're going to be emasculated. You're going to be a weak man. If your identity is in Christ and who you were created and designed by God Almighty to be in your masculinity as a spiritual leader of the home, that changes everything. It's literally a game changer. It's all about where the men of today are finding their identity. If they find it in the world, they're going to be emasculated. If they find it in Christ, they'll be emboldened and they'll be the man that they were created to be.
And where it begins will be repentance. As we present this, I think what we need is young men to see themselves differently. They need to see God differently. They need to see Christ differently. They need to see Christ as their Savior on the cross. They need to repent of their sin. They need to see that they've been doing things wrongly. And they need to see God's will for their lives. They need to renew their minds according to the will of God and recorded in the Word of God. They need to repent and see everything differently and then turn to Christ in faith. That's basic. That's salvation. And that's the message for young men. You say, well, we need to repent of our sins and believe in Jesus. Well, why is that? Well, because we're lousy people, because we're sinful people, because we have fallen short of the glory of God in so many ways, including all of the ways in which we've listed in terms of how men fall on their face over and over again in our societies today and our churches today. And so we just call on men to repent of all of this and then turn in faith to Christ and be saved. So that's really the challenge that we're leveling to our young men on this edition of the Generations broadcast. And I'd encourage you again to our book, Family Life, which lays out the responsibilities of men and women, the definition of masculinity and femininity according to the scriptures. And I know that, again, this is going to be a renewal of the mind in order to see the radical difference between the way the world is ruining the family and ruining women and ruining men right and left, and how the Word of God is restoring the will of God for the family in the modern day. I present that in our book, Family Life, available at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Adam McManus, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.